Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Radio podcast. My name is Matt Halloran, joined again today by Kirk Lowe. Kirk, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Ready to get going here.
All right. Well, we're going to talk today about the five simple ways to expand your network and boost revenue. So you are going to use a very interesting analogy here. So let's start with these two animals we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about four frogs and an elephant. And just being a little quirky here today, but the frogs represent small but effective steps. And the elephant, you know, is this big mammoth opportunity for you that I think most people, oddly enough, avoid. But I think in a way, it's kind of the elephant in the room for a lot of advisors' practices. And we'll get into that. That'll be the last one we share.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about these frogs, the small but effective leaps. What are the little things that people can do to really start expanding their network?
Yeah, so what we're talking about here is trying to maximize the amount of people that see your marketing go out. Okay. And there's a number of ways that are pretty efficient and effective, very easy to do. So we'll start with number one. Frog number one is something that everybody kind of overlooks. And everybody I talk to hasn't done a good enough job at this. And it's right in front of you. And that is inviting people who you already know to your social channels.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that they're connected to at least one of your channels, and then making sure that when you're doing social media, you're sending out to all your channels at once instead of just one. So, you know, clients, prospects, past clients, centers of influence, anybody who you've ever connected with, who you have their email address for, or you've got some way to connect with them, make sure that they're connected to you through Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Instagram, Google Plus, something. Just make sure that they're connected. I would say Instagram would be a secondary one, just because it may not be. I don't know. But anyway.
Now, Instagram is Pinterest is one that I think that a lot of advisors, one, can't use because compliance hasn't figured out how to archive it yet. But it is one of the most powerful ones that you can use. Now, I want to kind of go back to something because there's some compliance issues here. And depending on how your broker-dealer, unless you're an RIA, depending on how your broker-dealer really looks at what an invitation is, some of them are going to say that that is actually a solicitation, and other ones are going to say that by asking people to like your page, you are asking them for a testimonial. Now, not every broker-dealer says this. Not every broker-dealer tries to control this, but what I don't believe in that. I think that's a big, huge load of hooey. Poppycock, as one of the persons who I just interviewed this morning kept saying, which I thought was freaking awesome. So even in your signature line, you have to be careful. So you can say, some broker dealers will allow you to say, follow us on Facebook. Some will just allow you to put your Facebook link. So this can get, this can be a quagmire here, Kirk, and we need to make sure that we say that to people because there's other ways to get attention, which luckily you're going to talk about through these other four frogs and the elephant, but I just needed to go ahead and jump in there.
Yeah, no, you're the realist for sure. Most of the stuff that we recommend or I recommend in my business, I don't usually have any compliance issues, but there's always amendments or edits that we enforce. But certainly, I don't think you need compliance approval. I mean, provided you're allowed to do social media,
right,
and you the channels that you want to invite people to are have been approved by your broker dealer or your RIA, whatever it may be. You can still invite them. You don't have to ask for a like. You can just be their friend, be connected to them through LinkedIn, or follow them or have them follow you on Twitter or be connected into their circles through Google Plus.
Right. And there's another really good way to do this though, which is you have your personal page. So you should have a business page and a personal page on pretty much everything here: LinkedIn, Google Plus, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Pinterest, all of those things. And if you like it, which, by the way, you're allowed to do, well, again, you should be allowed to do, then that ends up showing up in your feed. And then you, as a human, or your spouse or significant other or kids, there's lots of ways to skin this cat. And I would highly recommend that you do that. Liking somebody else's post makes it show up on your page and also allows other people to interact with it. So there are a lot of different ways to do this that compliance can't tell you personally that you can't like a professional post.
Yeah. Who would ever skin a cat?
I don't know. I don't get that analogy. I say that often, Kirk, and I looked it up and, yeah. It's a really nasty, if anybody wants to Google something and really just have their eyes bleed, look that one up, because it's brutal. So it's like fleshing something out, right? That's another thing. You know, we've moved it flush. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about inviting people when it comes to LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and what your limits are. So how have you had success with actual proactive reaching out?
So are we on to number two now?
Yeah.
So number two is... let's just talk about LinkedIn specifically, but this is available through other networks as well. And LinkedIn allows you; they make suggested connections for you after you've connected with somebody or when you go on. So if you start clicking all those connect, there's a way that you can do that mm-hmm. without having to know their email address or identify whether you're a friend. Mm-hmm. Should is pretty easy to figure that out. If you just go to their profile and say, I want to connect with them, it's going to ask you, well, how do you know them?
Right.
But if they recommend it, you can start connecting with those. Yesterday, I think I got nine or 10 new connections just mm-hmm. because I clicked on 30 or 40 people. That was probably the best response I've ever got.
Oh, wow.
Percentage wise. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. It kind of blew me away. Actually, it must have just been a happy day for everybody. And anyway, so I try to do that regularly, fairly religiously, which is where you go in and invite 20 at a time, or maybe a day, or you go in over a week and invite 50 to 100. And that really adds up over time. And so try to do that. You just don't go overboard. If you get greedy, that's when there's going to be ramifications, because I've been suspended twice by LinkedIn over mm-hmm. the years. So you got to be careful not to do too many. So if you limit it, I don't know what the limitations are, but I'm guessing it's, 100 or maybe a couple hundreds where they start to a week where they start to say, hey, yeah. raise a bit of a flag. This guy's abusing our system.
Well, and, I recently was notified through LinkedIn that I had too many pending invites, and, canceling those pending invites are, it's really difficult. It's like 8-9 clicks in before you can find it. But, and especially if you get a lot of no's, like if people don't want to connect with you and they don't accept your invitation, LinkedIn does police a lot of that stuff. It's not about, and a lot of people go back to the whole law of large numbers here. It really is connecting with the right people. And you talk about that a little bit in point three here, which is social stalking. If you can follow people who are following your competition, and Kirk, we could do an entire podcast or even a webinar on how to use LinkedIn to find out who your competition's clients are. Because there's a couple of things from a security standpoint that a lot of advisors leave open. And basically, you can click on something and see all of their contacts. But you can also do that through – it's very easy to do that on LinkedIn. It's very, very – I'm sorry, on Twitter. It's very, very easy to do that on Facebook. LinkedIn has some security protocols involved. But if you start following somebody, especially on Twitter, and that's where news media is. That's where, reporters are. That's where people are going to find stories. If you learn how to stalk the right people, and we're using that in a positive sense, not a negative prison sentence sort of sense, it can make a huge difference. And you have three points here with social stalking that I think are brilliant. So can you go into those, please?
Yeah. So the first thing about social stalking It is pretty awful. It's not as bad as skinning a cat. I get that. Oh, everybody in the audience, raise your hands. Yes, everybody agrees. See? help others to help yourself. So when you say nice things about what other people have done, and you comment and then you share it and like it, I always find it's better to comment. If you just always liking everything,
yep.
I mean, if you're in a rush, that's better than nothing. But it's nice to say something and say something relevant that actually proves you read the article that they posted or whatever they're doing. And if you can add any value to it, you got to be careful here, because if you're adding value to somebody who would be seen as a competitor, like another financial advisor, that would be, that wouldn't be seen maybe as the best, not just from that advisor. You don't want them bad mouthing you, but if their clients see it, they might think it's a little underhanded. So you got to be careful there. But it doesn't have to be advisors who you're following so that their people can see you either. It can just be a local accountant, could even just be a chiropractor. I mean, chiropractor, might draw all kinds of people that you think would be perfect for your business. So there's all, or a florist, there's all kind, or a gardening club, there's all kinds of interesting things you can do, right? So that's the first one, is help others to help yourself. The other one is add value, like I just said, but don't challenge them and don't embarrass them, for sure. You always want to be positive. If you can't be positive, then maybe they're not the best people to follow, because you want to be able to appreciate and respect what they do professionally and add some value. Or it could just be fun stuff you're sharing, or community minded, or environmental, whatever it may be. I would refrain more often than not than political. That's my personal view, but may not be yours. The third one is to identify 10 to 20 that you can follow. So if you want to start social stalking, identify 10 to 20 people. Now, if you're doing your own social media, you still want to make a list, and you want to go in when you get a chance, go to their feeds, look at what they're saying. You don't have to search through everybody's feeds to see, to find them. You can go directly to their feed, see what they're saying. If you like anything, note it, write your update for it, and get it done, get it out there, and do that at least once a week.
Absolutely.
Well, probably once a week is a good place to get started. The thing here, I'm just going to explain what happens when you do this. When you include them, so this is Twitter, is this is why people do the at symbol in Twitter, is to identify people. It'll show up on their feeds. When you talk about them, you put their name. You can do the same thing in LinkedIn. I don't know if you could do it. Yeah, you can do it in Facebook too.
Mm-hmm.
So when you identify the name,
it's a little different. You just tag them, yep.
Yeah, when you tag them, thank you. That that means that their audience will see your post as well. So whether you're replying to them or whether you include them in something you're doing. So social stalking can also be about just including their tag in your update, because they would get what you're talking about, or you're making reference or building on something that they did. So there's all kinds of opportunities there. But identify about 10 to 20, somewhere in that range. Start following them, see what they're talking about, and pull interesting stuff out. And this is also a great way for you to get more content out and have it be, be kind of involved in the community, so to speak, whether that community is your industry, your local community, or what have you. It's a really good opportunity, social stalking, to quickly boost how many people are seeing you. That's the goal here, right? Mm-hmm. Say something nice, and be seen by their audience. Get your stuff seen by their audience too.
I love this because it allows you to look like you are a participant, and you're not just trying to dictate the discussion. I use this story all the time, because I think it's one of the best examples. I've got an advisor that I've worked with in Brentwood, Tennessee, and his whole life is around raising labradoodles for prisons, for prison rehabilitation. It's a big thing that he does. And so his page, his business page, is almost all about dogs. Now, he does some really good companion stuff, like he'll talk about training a dog is like doing a financial plan. He does a little bit of that, but he also shares cute pictures of puppies and all of these different things from other people in the area. He talks about other breeders, but the best part about it is he's known as the guy who does that. And it's all because he doesn't create a lot of his own content. He's repurposing non-financial based content, he puts a little quip, just like you said, write up one or two lines talking about, wow, I really loved this article. These people are doing a really good job. Or, you know, hey, I just ate at Blankety store and I, you know, or restaurant and it was really good. These are the sorts of things that once you start building a habit of doing this socially, you're going to be amazed at how many people actually start socially stalking you in a positive way. But I also want to talk about this 10 to 20 that you want to follow. If there's a money manager, if there's a financial planner, if there's a thought leader, if there's an investment news article, if there's something in Marketplace or Market Watch, repurpose those things because it makes you look really smart and it makes your clients and prospects and centers of influence realize that you're reading and you're a student of the game. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. I mean, these are all pretty easy things to implement. They don't cost. Yep. I mean, they're time, and time is money for sure. But, you know, inviting people that are already in your network, your hand-to-hand or face-to-face network, making sure that they're in your digital network is huge. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you take time, you know, once a week or a couple times a week to invite people that your networks are recommending. So mm-hmm. they're like free invites. You don't have to know a lot about them, but you know that they're recommended because they're affiliated with somebody who they're similar to. Social stalking. Those are pretty easy things to get set up. The next one's a little bit more involved, but it's a really incredible tactic.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of walking the walk in this regard.
Absolutely.
But the fourth frog. So maybe this is a big Mississippi frog.
Right. This is a bullfrog. This is a big leaper.
Mississippi, right? Louisiana.
Yeah. Though they have big frogs down there. Yeah. We have big frogs in Michigan too, but that's all right. Keep going, man.
We got little tiny frogs here, but anyway.
It's too cold there for frogs, man. I mean, come on. You just told me.
Go underwater. Yeah. In a swamp, there's all kinds of air coming up. There's warmth coming up from the bottom of the earth. It's not too bad.
You need to come to the States. We got frogs.
But we make frog wetsuits up here. We take care of the frogs. They're dry suits, actually, because a wetsuit would probably freeze you.
Yeah, that's very true. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So big frog. What's this big frog number four?
The big frog. Oh, boy. Invite guests to your podcast. So for the thing is you got to have a podcast to make this happen. But if you go to Top Advisor Marketing, you're obviously here if you're listening to this. I mm-hmm. guess it could be iTunes.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll notice that sometimes I don't show up, and Matt invites smarter people than me, and he gets them on the call, and then we do an interview, and then they share it. Just think about that. You know, if we get somebody who has a following of 5,000 people, and they do a podcast with them with Matt, and Matt always makes everybody sound great. And then we share that. 5,000 people just got introduced to Top Advisor Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not all 5,000, but it's huge. And you can do that in your local practice or your regional. If you want to have a regional reach or a national reach, you can invite guests that help you get there. And so just mix it up, having guests and then bringing on more regular people. I think it's a good formula. I'm just trying to save my job here. but it's a really good, really great way to expand your network. And it's pretty simple. And to be honest, it's a lot of fun.
It's fun.
And it's a great symbol of professionalism when you're not trying to always make it just about yourself. Right. And the other thing is a lot of times people get a little bit, it becomes more difficult sometimes for certain people to find content to do a podcast every week or every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This really gives you a bit of a break from time to time. So if you bring on a guest once a month and then you do your own once a month, you'd be in pretty good shape. And that's a great way to grow your practice. So those are the four frogs.
Well, in the inviting your guests to your podcast, if you're a financial advisor and you're listening to this, here are some people that you should invite. Number one, bring on somebody who does hip replacement. Bring in somebody who does long-term care, like a long-term care assisted living facility. Bring in somebody who's a CPA, you know, early in tax season, bring somebody on who's an estate planning attorney who works with like living trusts or remainder trusts or trusts. Wax philosophical with these different people, and you can always bring it back a little bit to financial planning or financial advice. But making them feel special and good is going to increase their willingness to share. And like you said, proof's in the pudding. So I had the honor to interview three huge thought leaders for Top Advisor Marketing Radio, which was Matt Ackerman from Investment News, Veronica Dagger from the Wall Street Journal, and Julie Littlechild she just actually wrote a new book. And just when I posted that I interviewed Matt Ackerman and tagged him in it on social, I got hundreds of people who liked it. Hundreds of people who liked it. This wasn't the podcast because we hadn't even gotten it done and edited yet. That was it. And oh my goodness gracious, it was unfreaking real. And if you can do that in your local community, your local region, try to find somebody from the press. And we, that's why we actually interviewed Matt Ackerman and Veronica Dagger, was so that advisors like you can learn how to work with the press. As an advisor, if you say, hey, you know, John Jones, the meteorologist, you know, talk about, you know, would you mind if I interviewed you? Tell our audience how to be camera ready. Well, of course they're going to want to do that because they know that it's going to go out to your audience and it's going to make them look good because somebody's interviewing them. It really is wicked powerful. And so we are trying to walk the walk here at Top Advisor Marketing Radio. You know, I love being able to bring new guests on, and you should be doing the same thing. And yeah. And in fact, I'm sorry, Kirk, one other quick thing. We have a paper on how to start a podcast. And so we need to make sure that that's in the show notes here, and we need to make sure that that goes out with this podcast.
Yeah, it's we put a lot of value in that paper.
I think a little too much, but that's okay. You and I don't always see eye to eye on how much you give away and how much I'd rather have people pay us for some thought leadership, but that's all right. It's really good, man. I mean, it's a deep paper. I know, man, and I respect you for that. All right, so we just talked about the four frauds.
Give everybody as much as you can.
Yes.
Most the people who – and I talk to everybody about this all the time. And I can't remember if we talked about this on the show or not, because I talk about it so often, so I probably have, but I'll repeat it. When you give really generously, and so what if somebody takes your stuff and you taught them how to do it and they learned it and they did, and they changed their business because of you, but you didn't make any money. Mm-hmm. You kind of did make some money because you got a fan, for starters. But the people who love what you do, who can connect with it and think it's has a lot of value, and who don't have the time to implement it, there's a good chance they're going to become a client someday.
Right. Yeah.
That's what marketing is all about. And I think that's probably the single greatest shift in how we market these days versus, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago and beyond, which was to entice them with some kind of offer or something that was appealing, whether it was true or, you know, exaggerated, whatever it is. That's how marketing kind of happened. But now you can do it this way, and it's more and more accepted to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And it works.
Well, and it's a lot more genuine. I remember driving down the road and my son said, Dad, you can own a BMW for $199 a month. I was like, yeah, honey, but you didn't look at the fine print because that's how they get your attention. I've got to put $6,000 down to get $199 a month. So, and I think, like, and I know I've actually learned this from you, that level of honesty and integrity is starting to be challenged so much more because of how pervasive social media is. And the more integrity you show and the more truthful you are, people really connect with you a lot more. And I'm teasing, of course. I absolutely love that paper, and I love all of your free stuff. In fact, I have four of your free downloads on my desktop, and I send them to people who I work with all the time. And they're like, wow, Matt, you didn't create this? I'm like, I didn't create this. I got somebody way smarter than me who created this. And, you know, he's a friend of mine. And that's the sort of stuff that we're talking about. That's another great example. if you've got an estate planning attorney who's got a great white paper, man, share it with your freaking clients. Yes, you have to get it compliance approved and blah, blah, blah. But man, that makes a big deal. Now,
this is a crazy thing, though. If when you shared that information and it wasn't yours, did they care a ton that it wasn't yours, or were they more excited about the value you just provided?
It makes me look more resourceful.
So it does make a case for not always having to have your own stuff. But the other thing to note is that, Matt, you have your own stuff too. So when you use somebody else's, it doesn't look like you've built your business or right. your expertise on somebody else. I just wanted to make sure that's clear. But
sure.
if you have your own stuff and then you share other stuff, you still have a lot of credibility. But if you just share somebody else's stuff always, not as much. I mean, it depends on who you are and what you're good at. But anyway.
Well, and I'm sure there's some really good marketing statistics out there, but my general rule of thumb is for out of a pie of 100%, I want to share 75% of my content and 25% of somebody else's. Because again, I want my clients, just like we do with this podcast, I want people to understand that I'm a student of the game, right? I want people to know that I'm consistently reading. I want people to know that I'm trying to better myself. I want people to know that I'm interviewing people so that I can learn more. Kirk, you and I have talked about this before, and I know how much you love it when I compliment the heck out of you. But man, I've learned more interviewing you from a marketing and branding perspective than I would have ever gotten in a master's degree, you know, an MBA in marketing or branding. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. And when you're looking at these four frogs and the big elephant, try to look at it that way. How can you learn from other people and then share that leadership, that thought leadership that you're getting from other people to make yourself look even better? But when it comes to looking good, this is the elephant. So I want to end with this because we talked about four frogs. Well, three small frogs, a big frog, and then a monster elephant. So let's talk about the elephant in the room that we need to address.
So I've been talking about this one for so many years, but it still blows me away that people don't understand the ROI with this particular strategic move, and it's pretty simple. It's getting clear on your brand, articulating that brand, and pushing it out there. I've seen the most success out of any clients I've ever had, anything we've ever done. The most success comes from introducing a new niche, strength-based, audience need-based brand. Something that when people see it, they're like, "Wow, that is you." I've mm-hmm. never really been able to put it together in my mind. I've never known how to refer you. Your website wasn't that good, and now it's with this message and focus. You know, it's I get it. I'm proud. So it does combine the, you know, having a new website in there and kind of get, you know, putting the message out there. But I hear regularly at least double your referrals and sometimes quadruple or more your referrals that you normally get when you do this. I mean, that is, it's money in the bank. If you've got a good practice, if you don't have any focus, you're not that strong, it may be more difficult to pull this off, but I think mm-hmm. there's plenty of financial advisors out there who have a great practice, who've been doing this long enough, have a good expertise, have a clear audience that really connects with them, that they enjoy working with most. When you figure this stuff out, you get a strong tagline, a whole bunch of supporting concept, key phrases, you put it all together, you package it up and put it out there. If this costs you, think about it, if this costs you $20,000 to do it, mm-hmm. Or if it just cost you 2 months of your time, whatever it happens to be, add up, you know, do the math on this. So if you're getting five referrals a year.
Yeah. And you're making 10,000, right? Cause that's, you know, if you have $1 million person, you're charging 1%. That's the easy math, right?
Yep.
You have to get two clients. And then you're still making money off of that in perpetuity.
Over the course of a year,
not even a year.
It's really, you should be able to get five.
Yeah.
If you're getting five, you should easily be able to double. If you're getting 10, you should be able to double that too.
Absolutely.
Because the biggest reason that people aren't referring you is because they don't get how to refer you, or they refer you in a way that sounds like everybody else. And it's like, I'm not going to call Maddie. Sounds like my other financial advisor, or right. In your case, you know, the business coach I already hired last year. Mm-hmm. You nail your focus, and it's relevant to them because of the kind of people you want to work with, and you're the kind of advisor they always wanted to work with, and you've clarified that. It's become so obvious, it just starts happening. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be engaged in putting your new brand out there, talking about it, being your brand, sending out email, sending out letters, you know, making sure everybody's connected to social media, making sure that everybody's seeing all your new stuff. But the truth is that you'll nail it. And that is the elephant. And I say, you know, it's the elephant in the room too, because I think a lot of advisors are running their business and they do not feel good or comfortable or focused about their brand. They most advisors that, you know, they just don't feel like they've got this figured out. Mm-hmm. It's huge. If you don't have that figured out, I don't know how you kind of show up every day, because I don't know how you talk to people. It must be, you know, it must be tough.
Well, it is tough.
But even not have that figured out.
I was just talking to an advisor this morning in the Atlanta area, and he's talking to me, you know, Matt, I'm kind of losing my passion for this. I'm not enjoying it as much. And I said, okay, let's go back to your mission statement and your value prop. And his mission statement was, we connect your money with your life's meaning, because he's incredibly philanthropic. He's a very spiritual guy. And I made him say it a couple of times, and he said to me, God, you know, I don't say that to enough people. I was like, man, you really look different. When you're talking to somebody about connecting their money with their meaning, that's not about performance. That's not about rates of return. That's not about cash flow projections. That's, you've worked really, really hard in your life to build a nest egg. Let's make that mean something to you. And he was like, you know what, man, I just have to, and I learned this from my old boss, Ron Carson, because he would laminate this stuff and have it in his shower, and he would have these shower moments that he always used to kind of joke about. But a lot of times, just that reminder of who you are, what you do, why you do it, and why your clients care, which we have done podcasts on, makes you feel invigorated. I want you to feel unique and special. So does Kirk. And when Kirk talks about branding, you can hear that passion in his voice, because once you get that message, that tagline, that emotional anchor that you have with who you are and what you do, you are a different advisor. You still there?
Yep. I am. I'm nodding my head the whole time.
Well, yeah, but people can't see that, dude.
I know. You mean this isn't a video cast?
No, we could have done that, but is there anything?
You probably got your hands flying around.
I do. Actually, it's really funny. So I have the way that I have my mic set up, I was actually just, it's funny that you say that. I was just looking at that because I'm sitting here flailing my arms around hoping that I don't hit the mic, because it gets really loud and twangy when I do. So
when we've done a number of these where we actually share a video, and I've had to say, Matt, you're going to hit that mic.
Oh, come on, man. I don't ever get overexcited. That's not
who I am at all. I can't tell if I'm doing an interview or watching an old kung fu movie.
Hey, I am pretty fluid, but I'm like choppy like that when the films skip.
Tai Chi while he's...
Well, you know.
This podcast.
You got to stay grounded, dude. All right. So we just talked about the four frogs.
I almost
frogs.
Started to do
What's
an
that?
Accent there. Oh, I almost started to, man. And I would have blown it
yeah,
so
that,
bad.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad you didn't do that, because that could have bit us in the butt. But you can do a frog accent or an elephant accent, because that's what we just talked about today. Any closing thoughts on this, Kirk? What do you got?
I think these are pretty simple things. And hopefully the four frogs and the elephants will stick with you. I mean, they're not like life changing, but they might be business changing.
Mm-hmm. And they're cumulative, right? And so I'm gonna start with the elephant and then go back to the frogs to wrap it up today. If you come up with a new brand and it really means something to you, when you go back to the four frogs, inviting people, doing stuff socially, social stalking, inviting guests to your to a podcast, the probability of them engaging with your material is so much higher because you have that brand foundation. And so we always talk about eating, you know, an elephant one bite at a time. But if you don't attack that, and Kirk's got branding guides and marketing guides to help you through all of that stuff. please take some time to go through it. Really make 2017, which is the year that we're doing this podcast, the year that you're going to really look at your brand. It doesn't matter if it's 18, 19, 20. It's if you don't have that great brand foundation, then a lot of the other stuff, these other four frogs, just aren't going to jump as well as they should, and people aren't going to pay as much attention to them.
God, the analogies are. You know how many animals you've killed today? I talk about nice things with animals, how they jump.
Yes.
And they're elegant and like the elephant. I did say the elephant in the room, so I was a little bit disparaging about the elephant there. But you've eaten an elephant.
Yeah.
You've skinned a cat. Yeah. What else did you do?
Well, I haven't killed any frogs yet, so I'll make sure that you were talking about putting a wetsuit on a frog. So I don't actually know if that's a good idea.
In Louisiana, they eat them. Oh, that's okay. You got to eat. So.
Yeah, we all have to eat, but that's not on my list. All right, buddy, you got anything else today?
No, I better not because we're going to lose the audience.
I don't think so. I think once you started talking about me killing animals, they perk back up again. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to another Top Advisor Marketing Radio podcast. And this is Matt Halloran for Kirk Lowe. I'll see you on the other side of the mic.
Top Advisor Marketing.
Oh, what? What did I say?
You said Top Advisor Radio. That's when you do that other type of interview.
Oh, I did?
We're not going to – please don't edit this out because I love people to see that you're just – just shy of perfect.
Well, yeah, and I do appreciate that. I am definitely, you're the best. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.